Thanks so much for joining us for this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Since 1937, this program's purpose has been to send forth the light of the gospel. I trust the program will be a blessing, and you will enjoy this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Good morning and Happy New Year on this very first weekend of 2025. The song you just heard, sung by my niece, Robin Riggins. And it's a beautiful song, a well-known song by most of us who know gospel music. And this is off her album, Songs That Got Me Through. Let me read to you what she wrote on the back liner. Like so many, our family has suffered the loss of loved ones. My dad died suddenly at the age of 60 in 2002. In 2020, we lost our precious 2.5-year-old granddaughter unexpectedly. In 2022, our son and his girlfriend were killed in a tragic car accident. And in 2023, my mom passed away after a short illness. Through every loss, the Lord has been so present and faithful. Along this journey, the Lord has used music to bring peace and calm to my heart, reminding me that while weeping may endure for a night, joy comes in the morning. So here you go, songs that got me through. So we're featuring my niece on the program today, and I hope you enjoy the music. Thank you so much for your support of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance and Loman Ministries through the holiday season. I appreciate all of those who took time to send us a card and enclose a gift. It means so very, very much. And from time to time, we receive word that someone will no longer be supporting the program due to age or death. And I'm thankful for the way they supported across the years. And we received such a letter just this last month. And so we need folks to step up and help us with the expense of the radio program. So if you could, would you take a few minutes to write us a letter and enclose a gift if you can? You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo tab there. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful for our listening audience, for those who have stood by us across the years, and for the new folks who've come alongside to help with the expense. Bless them, I pray, as we begin a new year. I pray that 2025 will be a great year because we've chosen to serve you and trust you in all things. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Speaking this weekend, January the 5th, at Orleans Church of the Nazarene, Orleans, Indiana. Then going to travel out west to Arizona to Christ Center Wesleyan Church, January 11 through 12, and then Eastview Church of the Nazarene, Bloomington, Indiana, January 17 to 19. I'm going to be sharing on the program today and throughout the month of January a sermon that I preached at Flintwood Wesleyan Church the first Sunday of Advent. It's called The Wish List. And I felt it would be appropriate, even though it was preached on the first Sunday of Advent regarding hope, the message itself is for all of us throughout the year, and I hope it'll be a blessing as we share the message on the program today. Don't forget to pray for us. It'll mean so very, very much. And take a few minutes to write us a note or to send us an email, laneloman@me.com, and that'll mean so much.
Tomorrow there'll be trouble. no special favor to ask. I just came to talk with you, Lord. Oh, I just came to talk with you.
Do you have a Christmas wish list? I remember when I was a kid growing up in North Carolina, Christmas Day was the most anticipated day in my year. I couldn't hardly wait for it to get there. I mean, I'd just look forward to it day after day after day after day. Thanksgiving would come, and it was even closer. I'd begin to count the hours after Thanksgiving when it was going to come. Christmas Day was upon us. I could hardly wait. And finally, Christmas Eve would arrive. Fortunately for us, as kids in the Lohman household, my dad loved Christmas as much as we did. He would start in January each year, and he would go down to the bank, and he would buy Christmas clubs. And he would put a couple of dollars in each one of those clubs so we'd have enough money at the end of the year for Christmas for all of us. I had my list. I'd given it to my dad, and I was expecting a big day, a big day. I can remember on Christmas Eve one year, I was so excited about Christmas that I went to bed at 5:30, trying to go to sleep, trying my best to go to sleep, because what I was going to get the next morning was going to be incredible. I just knew it was. I remember one Christmas morning, very, very early, before the sun had ever come up, my brother Richard and I, we shared a room, and we had bunk beds, and he was on the top bunk, I was on the bottom. And we were awake way before dawn. And he leaned over the edge of his bunk bed, and he said, "Hey, Lane, ask Dad if we can go ahead and get up. He likes you better than he likes me." They didn't wrap our gifts. There were five of us, and they were grouped around the Christmas tree according to age. Larry's over here, Janice is here, Richard's here, mine here, and Leslie's over here. And I would always go into the living room where the Christmas tree was and all the gifts were located, and I would begin to look at everybody else's gifts first. See if there was anything I might want to use later. I wanted to stretch the day out as long as possible. And then I would come to my gifts. Dad never disappointed. I usually got what was on my list. Oh, it wasn't a long list, but there was significance. I remember that one Christmas, the green English 10-speed bicycle that I got. I remember the Christmas when I got the .22 rifle that I'd asked for. The one Christmas I asked for the tennis racket, because I was into tennis then. Not so much now. My wish list. I remember it well. If you had a spiritual wish list, what would be on it this morning? What would be the thing that you wanted most from a spiritual perspective? What would you hope for? Well, as has already been noted, Christmas season is upon us. First Sunday of Advent, as we noted, it's the Sunday of hope. What I want to read for you this morning is not in the New Testament. It's in the Old Testament. But as you study the Word of God, you will find that the word hope weaves its way throughout the entirety of the Old and the New Testament. When you open the Word of God, the word hope can be found in so many places. As a matter of fact, it occurs 130 times in the King James Version of the Bible. It occurs 143 times in the New King James Version. 151 times in the English Standard Version. 167 times in the NIV, the New International Version. Israel's relationship with God amazes me. The ebb and flow of their relationship with God just as astounding. They would disobey and then they would obey. They would disobey and then they would obey. Finally, God got frustrated with them and he just caused the enemies of Israel to overwhelm them and overtake them. And God just got fed up with them. But yet they were God's chosen. He couldn't leave them as they were. He had to do something for them. I think he had a wish list for them. Something that he wanted for the people of Israel. And I think it's similar to the hope that God has for each and every one of us in this service this morning for this Christmas season. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1. This is Ezekiel speaking. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy or preach to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound. The bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, and there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up. Our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live. And I will settle in your own land. I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that the Lord, I have spoken. I have done it, declares the Lord." My dad was an evangelist, and in the early 50s, my father would travel many times by train when he was going to a revival meeting. And he tells the story that one time on the way home from a revival meeting, he'd gotten up that morning to go get breakfast in the dining car. And he's walked into the dining car. He saw a gentleman sitting there at a table. He seemed familiar to my dad, and then he recognized who he was. It was Vance Havner, the great Baptist evangelist of the 40s and the 50s. And my dad stopped and spoke to him. And Vance Havner looked at my father and said, "What's your name?" He said, "My name's Harold Lohman." He said, "I've heard of you, Lohman. Sit down." And my dad sat down at the table with Vance Havner. And Vance Havner looked at my father and he said, "Reverend Lohman, I've been reading the newspaper. And the city fathers out in Los Angeles, they have a problem with the smog there. And in their recent meeting on how to deal with the smog in Los Angeles, one of the city fathers made the statement, the only way that we're going to rid ourselves of the smog is if we have winds from elsewhere." I submit to you this morning that if we're going to know the beauty of the Spirit-filled life, if there's going to be any hope for any of us today, we're going to have winds from elsewhere. We're going to have to know the power and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. God knew that if there was any hope for Israel, they would need something from without. They would need for God to come and do a fresh work in their lives. And if there is any hope for any of us personally from a spiritual perspective, then it will be because we've allowed the life-giving ministry of the Holy Spirit to come and do His work in our lives. He has described the Holy Spirit as a rushing, mighty wind. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, the Holy Spirit is the divine administrator of all things spiritual. If anything happens in your life from a spiritual perspective, it will be because you've allowed the Holy Spirit to work in your heart and mind. From the very beginning, of time in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "Now the earth was formless and empty, darkness over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." From there, all the way to the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 10, where it says, "And he carried me away in the Spirit." It was the Spirit who brought about the pregnancy of a young maiden named Mary. And Jesus was born of a virgin because of the Spirit of God. Here in Ezekiel, chapter 37, verse 9, Ezekiel is instructed by God, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man. Say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into the slain that they may live." I believe that if there's anything we need today, it's the breath of the Spirit of God to fall fresh upon us. We used to sing a song, "Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me." What was on God's wish list for Israel? I see four things. Come from the four winds. I see four things. God's wish for Israel was that which was dead would live again. Israel was dead. Dead, estranged from God. And he wanted them back. He wanted them to know him as they once knew him. "The hand of the Lord was upon me," verse 1. "And he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them. And I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley that were very dry. And he asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?'" Israel is described as dead, dry bones, no evidence of faith in God. They'd walked away from God so many times, that allowed so many things to usurp the authority of God in their lives. Well, when you turn on the television now, you can watch Christmas shows 24 hours a day and never see the same one twice. It's amazing. Hallmark Channel. How many times can you tell the same story with just different people? It's absolutely amazing to me. I have my favorites. Of course, we'll not go the season without watching the Christmas story. I have a leg lamp on my table beside my recliner. And of course, I enjoy watching the Christmas Carol. There are a lot of variations of that great Charles Dickens story. Here's how that story begins from page one. In the opening paragraph, Marley was dead to begin with. There is no doubt whatever about that. The register of his burial was signed by the clergyman, the clerk, and the undertaker. Oh, Marley was dead as a doornail. God said to Ezekiel, "Son of man, do you see this? Do you see these dry bones? They're dead. They're cut off. Their hope is gone.
Thanks so much for listening to this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I hope you'll take a few moments to write us a letter and let us know that you listened to the program. And if you can, send a gift so we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or the PayPal tab. If you're looking for a church home, I know you would be welcome in any of the following churches: in the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel, Carrier Mills; in the state of Kentucky, the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association in eastern Kentucky; in the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs, Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, and Trinity Church in Salisbury. In the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria. And here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, and Flintwood Wesleyan Church. Till the same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.